All right. We are going to continue our theme of loving one another, loving the brethren, and the command that God has given us. And our focus in this second part is going to be what I'll call the how-tos. We're going to try to answer the question, okay, we are to love one another by doing what? What are we supposed to do? Let me say a few things by way of introduction before we get into the text that we'll look at. First, let me try to recap what we said this morning about 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. We saw there that twice at the beginning and end of that passage of Scripture, we are commanded to love one another. And we are given in that passage two main reasons of why we are supposed to love one another. The first reason was because of who God is, or God's nature. God is love, and therefore as His child, we also ought to love one another. And the second reason that John gives us there is because of what God has done, or what I called God's gesture, in sending His Son, His only begotten Son, the Son whom He loves, into the world for us, for our good, to take away our sin and to give us eternal life. So for these two reasons, John tells us we ought to. We have an obligation to love one another. And that brings us into the second part of what we looked at, the characteristics of this love. What is this love like when we love one another as we are to love one another? We saw that it is an obligation. We saw that it comes from the heart. It's not merely outward action. We saw that it starts with us. We're not exempt from it. If no one shows us love first, then we don't have to show any love back. No, it starts with us. And then it requires that we be born again. To truly have this kind of love, we must be first born of God. Okay, now, I started this morning by reading a scattering of passages, primarily from the New Testament, about love, generally, how it is esteemed in the Scriptures. So we could answer this question of what are we to do now, how do we show this love to one another, just by going all over the place, right? There wouldn't be an end. We could spend the whole rest of today looking at how to love one another, all the examples that are in Scripture. But I thought it would be fitting, since the main text came from 1 John, that we try to limit ourselves to 1 John, but I'm also going to look at 2 and 3 John. So we're just going to primarily stay in the letters of John to see this, but I hope as we are looking at these passages and making these points, drawing some of these things out, you're going to be thinking of other passages. I am sure they will come to mind. So if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to just, you know, jot a quick reference or the phrase that's coming to mind so you can look at it later and bolster your faith and your practice even more. I'm sure you're like me. When you see the Word of God express a truth over and over again from the New Testament, from the Old Testament, something Jesus says, now Paul says it, now Peter says it, that encourages my faith and strengthens it. So I want you to be thinking about other passages, taking note of those. All right. We're going to limit ourselves to four main ways of how we can love one another. And I want to say that this is not like ice cream flavors. All right? You walk into Brahms, we're Oklahoma people. I'm from Oklahoma, so we'll call ourselves Oklahoma people. When I'm down in Texas, I say, you know, I wasn't born here, but I got here as soon as I could. But when I'm up here, I go back to my roots. All right, don't hold it against me. Okay, ice cream flavors. Where was I? When you walk up to Brahms, right, you walk up and down the glass, and you're looking, and okay, I was going to do a single dip. Now I think I'll do a double dip because I want maybe a triple. Okay, one of each. That's not how this is. Okay, think maybe If any of you are familiar with farm life or ranch life, I grew up on a cattle ranch, and there were certain things that had to be done daily. And if you started to neglect any one of those, stuff eventually would come apart. It would come to pieces. So you get the picture. I won't illustrate that anymore. But these four things, in other words, these four things that we're going to look at are not, oh, I'm really good in this one. I'm not so good in that one. So I won't worry about that one. I'll just develop this one. No, all of this has to be done, okay? And let me say one more thing. 1 John, you know, these letters of John, they come at the end of our Bible. They're grouped together with what in scholarship are called the general epistles or the Catholic epistles or the universal epistles. We read Paul, and we always note, you know, he's sending this to a church, and that's kind of how we read it. We get to some of these, and we may not think so much that way. We may think, you know, John's just, I don't know, posting this on his Facebook for anybody to read that happens to come by. No, you need to be thinking in terms of a church. Churches were receiving these letters and reading them. It's real obvious in 2 John, you know, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, or 3 John similar, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And then 3 John, he's dealing with church matters with Gaius's church. So I want you to think that way with 1 John. Now you do that, whether you realize it or not, because what's that passage? Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. We think about that passage in terms of church life. So I want you to think about these in terms of your church. Again, I said it this morning, but don't just think generally about brothers and sisters out there somewhere that you're going to show this love to, but think about the people sitting across from you, okay? All right, I think that's all that I need to say in terms of introduction. So let's go to our first one. We actually read it this morning, but we'll go there again. It's from 1 John chapter 3. And this first point is we ought to love one another by giving the world's goods to one another. Or another way to say it, by meeting one another's needs. So 1 John 3, 16 through 18. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So this is our first way, the how-to of loving one another, meeting one another's needs. Now, your mind should have gone, I say should, mine goes straight to Acts, you know, the beginning chapters of Acts, when the church is sharing and selling and giving to one another, and there wasn't a need among them, because everything was in common. There is a giving up of what we have to meet someone else's needs. Now, obviously, this requires selflessness. My wife is much more graced in this area than me. By God's grace, he's grown me a lot over the past however many years, 13, 14 years we've been married. But I grew up holding on to things. You know, again, living out on a ranch, you never know when you might need that thing again someday in the future. So you stick it in the barn somewhere. You sure don't give it to anybody. But man, what do we have that we could bless other people with, that other people need, and we don't need it, but we can give it. So sharing with one another. There's much commanded about sharing, being ready to share. So think of resources. I'll just give you a few examples from our church, just to get your minds thinking. We have a couple of families who raise laying hens. I've never wanted for an egg in the time that we've been in our church because they are very giving with eggs. Vehicles. We had a family that has a large van, and another family was going to go on a trip, and they lent them their van to take the trip because the other family's van was not as reliable for this, you know, more of a cross-country type trip. I mean, I grew up working on my truck a lot. Woo, I sure wasn't going to let anybody else drive it but me. You see how there's sacrifice in giving up when we meet one another's needs with what we have. We have to learn to let things go. These things of the world are temporary. God wants our hearts. Labor. We can give of our abilities and skills to one another. I had to rebuild a fence in my yard a few years back, and several of the men from church came out. And one of them even came out. We were supposed to meet on Saturday, like Saturday was going to be the work day of rebuilding the fence. He came out Friday night. We had plans for Friday night as a family. We weren't even going to be home. And he dug out, he tore down the old fence. He set the new post. I think that's what it was that he did. But anyways, he did it. I was like, brother, we've got a family engagement. He's like, go. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of this. So giving of ourselves in that sense as well is how we can meet one another's needs and show each other love. That brother showed me some love that Friday night, and it was humbling. Think about general church life things that happen, you know, expecting mothers of newborns. They need help. They need meals and things that can bless them so that they can tend after this little baby. Funerals, you know, providing meals for funerals that sort of thing. Caring for elderly parents. We have a few families in our church who are taking care of. One just passed away recently, in fact. So they're caring for elderly parents. That's a workload, you know, a meal or something that can bless them and provide for those kind of needs. And you can see too, I mean, this doesn't have to be I'm going to wait till you're on your last leg and then I'll come in and gift you with a little something. I mean, we can share and give to one another and bless one another along the way. And of course, something like this can be organized, right? A lot of times when it's a new baby or something, the women may get together and organize meals or something. But this kind of thing can always be spontaneous. Pay attention to the Lord prompting your heart in this kind of way to give and share. Last, before we move on to the next one, again, thinking of other passages, Jesus, isn't this what, okay, I said I wasn't going to go to other passages, but I'm going to go to one. In Matthew 25, you know, when Jesus is judging the sheep and the goats, listen to what he's judging them based on. This is, I'll begin in verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So right there, hungry, thirsty, naked, gave me food, gave me drink, gave me clothing. You met my needs. And this is all, by the way, if you keep reading, when the wicked answer back, let me see, verse 44, they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you, is how my Bible translates it. So in general, that's what it is. Are we taking care of one another? Are we looking out for one another as the body of Christ? Okay, Number two, second way we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another by rejoicing in one another's good. Rejoicing in one another's good, both spiritual and physical. Okay? Spiritual and physical. Where do you get that? Again, 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Negative example. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do you see the negative example? God is showing favor to my brother. He's accepting his offering. And instead of rejoicing in that brother's good, I become envious and angry and hateful and murder him. Instead of that, we should rejoice. We should be happy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Let me show you a positive example from 3 John. Verses 2 through 4. Beloved, I pray that in, and this is to Gaius, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. So John is, first of all, praying for this brother's good, his prospering, both in body and in soul, both physically and spiritually. I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And then I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So are we loving one another by rejoicing in one another's good? We do this all the time again with our kids. When they accomplish something or they've worked hard for something, oh man, you know, my kids had a piano recital this weekend, Friday night, and they did awesome. I was so proud of them. I wasn't sitting over there, golly, wish I could play the piano like that, rah, 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 right? I mean, we're happy. Their joy is our joy. Are we doing that with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? Or are we envious of one another, consuming one another? Are we rejoicing in physical good and in spiritual good? When a brother comes under conviction or has a renewed vigor in the Lord, our first reaction is making excuses for why we don't feel that way or we're not pursuing the Lord as hard as they are? Or are we happy? Oh, praise God, he's working in our church. He's building that brother up or that sister up. Could be spiritual disciplines, growing in grace, could be witnessing opportunities. When you hear a testimony of, man, let me tell you about this great opportunity the Lord gave me to witness to this person at work or this person I ran into in the aisle at the grocery store or whatever. Oh, man, praise the Lord, and that encourages me to go out and be aware of those opportunities and that sort of thing. All right. So, giving the world's goods to one another or meeting one another's needs, rejoicing in one another's good. Now, number three, we ought to love one another by fellowshipping with one another, by being happy to be together. Okay? So, let's look at a few passages in 1 and 3 John. We'll start in 1 John 1. Verses 3 and 4. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So fellowship with the Father and the Son. All those who are fellowship together with the Father and the Son have fellowship with one another. And this fellowship that we have with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and thus the fellowship that we have with one another, completes joy. It completes joy. Another example, 2 John and verse 12. 2 John and verse 12. John says, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. I've had people that I wanted to write to with ink and paper. I didn't want to go see them in person because I wasn't going to have any joy with them. John says, I've got more stuff to tell you, but oh, I want to be with you. I want us to have joy in each other's presence. So joy in fellowshipping together. Let's look at one more example. Stay there in 2 John. Look at the opposite of this in verses 10 and 11. Well, we'll start in 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. This greeting, the Greek word here for greeting, is related to the word joy. So this greeting is, I'm glad to see you, kind of a greeting. And John is saying, don't give that kind of a greeting, because then you're participating with their evil deeds. You're not glad to see the one who's bringing teaching contrary to the teaching of Christ that we've received. Oh, but those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, are we glad to see them? So examples, the last verse there in 2 John, the children of your chosen sister greet you. Or in the last verse of 3 John, peace be to you, the friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So, do we have fellowship with one another? Do we love being together? Is there joy in being together? You guys are doing it on Sundays, right? You know, there's a lot of churches that dismiss church and everybody makes a beeline for the parking lot in their car. I've done my thing. I'm out of here. Think about work relationships. It's so often that, you know, man, we can get along and be friends at work and friendly with one another. But once work is over and we go home, you know, a lot of times you don't have anything to do with those folks anymore. And if you happen to move to another job, you're not staying in contact with them. But that's not how it is with the church. That's how it not ought to be. With the church, we want to be together. So of course, there may be times you need to leave right after the service. But you get my point, right? There's a desire to be together. It can happen on Sundays. It can happen, you know, with prayer meetings. But it happens not just when the whole church is gathered. You know, do you want one another in your homes? Do you have one another over for meals? Do you spend any time together apart from just the meetings of the church house? Where's your heart and What are your habits like? All right, one more way that I see here in 1st through 3rd John of how we ought to love one another is this: by holding one another to the truth. By holding one another to the truth. So let's look at a couple of passages for this one. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read 1 through 3. 1 John 5 says this: whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So what I want you to see there is that love of the Father and love for God and love for the child born of him, so love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and keeping the commandments of God are all interwoven here, are all interwoven. So the implication is that we can love one another by encouraging and fostering one another to keep the commandments of God. And the reason I put it in terms of loving the truth or holding one another to the truth is how I said it. We can love one another by holding one another to the truth. Look how he says it in 2 John. In 2 John, I'm going to read kind of the first half of the letter here, but follow with me. So the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Okay, then he gives his greeting, and then verse 4, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Loving one another is promoting the truth. It's encouraging the truth with one another, among one another. So Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Are we encouraging what is good in one another? Persevering in the faith. If you read through Acts, I read through Acts a little while back, and what I kept noticing was constant encouragement to continue in the Lord, to continue in the faith. Let's go back through and visit all those churches and encourage them to continue in the grace of God. Are we doing that with one another? Encouraging one another. You know, the world is competitive. It puts down, I've got to get above you. That's not how we treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Growing in spiritual disciplines. Think of 2 Peter, you know, applying all diligence, and he just keeps going through these qualities, these virtues. And then he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So encouraging growing in spiritual graces and spiritual disciplines. Hebrews puts it this way, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That requires some thought. You can go through a Sunday service and not think about how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But that's not how we should go through a service or a gathering of the church together. Are we thinking about how to encourage and stimulate one another, to stir one another up to love and good deeds? Well, that's on the positive side of things. Of course, there's the opposite, the negative side as well. And that is discouraging what is not the truth, what is not good, what is not the commandments of God. This happens in all sorts of ways. We see examples in Scripture. You know, Matthew 18 talks about if your brother sinned, show him his fault in private. Show him his fault. Galatians 6 talks about restoring someone from trespasses in a spirit of gentleness. James, the end of James, talks about turning a sinner from the error of his way. So turning one another back to the path. They've strayed off. Let's turn them on. And this is the sort of thing, I mean, this happens, this ought to be happening down at the grassroots level, so we don't get to that point now of having to do church discipline with someone. If we're doing what we're supposed to down here, we're going to discourage that. So it can happen in private conversation, sometimes in group conversations. It can happen generally, at least. And if we're spending time together and having each other over for meals and different things like that, it can happen there as we really dig into each other's lives and get to know each other. You know, there's some transparency, there's some vulnerability here. Loving one another by holding one another to the truth, which shows that we value God's truth and what he's commanded us. So examine yourselves. I hope, you know, as we've been looking at these and as I've been talking, you can think about your own life. But I encourage you to spend time really thinking about your own life. Where are areas that I think, man, the Lord has blessed me in these areas. I'm strong in some of these areas. Again, like we said this morning, you can increase all the more. Continue to grow. But in areas where you're weak, you know, examine those as well and think about how can I grow in this way. You know, I mentioned when my wife and I first got married, I was not much of a sharer, and also didn't like to get rid of things. But seeing over the years how my wife has been able to bless people through sacrificially just giving up things that I would have held on to. And then seeing how that has actually met a need and blessed them, you know, what did the Scripture say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Like when you experience that, okay, I can let these things go now, you know, for the sake of my Lord, for the sake of my King. I just jotted down some examples. Perhaps you're not doing well when it comes to rejoicing in one another's good. You know, maybe you haven't ever really thought that one through exactly. It takes noticing. So look around. Pay attention as people are talking. How is the Lord working in them? How is he blessing them? How can you encourage that and build that up? Don't let envy or bitter jealousy come in. So, there's many more we could look at, but I hope these four give us a taste of the richness and the breadth and the depth of what it really looks like to love one another how the Father loved us in sending his Son, how the Son loved us in giving up his own life. So may it be true of us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we know from your word objectively that none of us have reached perfection in any of these areas. And I pray that through the help of your Spirit working on our hearts, that we can really examine ourselves and see where we're falling short, where we need to gird up our loins and to really meditate and think about how can I put loving one another into action? Who am I loving well in the body? Who am I neglecting? How am I loving well in the body? How am I neglecting it? I pray for this body here that you would encourage and strengthen and build up and foster love for one another, that they would not only be the body of Christ in reality, because they belong to you, but they would look like the body of Christ to a watching world, that people would see. I've heard them say it. I know people in the world think this. They see a Christian, and they see their joy, and they see their love, and they see their sacrifice, and they know that there is something different about this people. It doesn't always make them attracted to Christ, but they see the evidence of it. May our love be real and seen. In Jesus' name, amen.